I wonder if anything about the reading you heard tonight stood out to you, anything that you heard differently this time, or something that you had never heard before. Yes. The star? The surprisingness of the star in the sky, moving, shifting. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah, all of Jerusalem with him and the fear that Herod stirs up in the city. You know, that was something that struck me too, the incredible risk that these men have taken. They travel these long distances. They carry these expensive gifts on dangerous roads at a time when banditry is quite commonplace. In fact, after the death of King Herod, there was a bandit who tried to take the throne. So there's a lot of violence around this time in history. So these men, they left their homeland, they entered the boundaries of the Roman Empire, and finally they found themselves in Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jewish people. And this is the place where Herod the Great reigned. And of all the risks they took to see this child, going to Herod was probably the greatest of them. Herod is but a blip in our story, but he has an incredibly colorful history. In fact, his story reads a little bit more like Game of Thrones than it does like the Bible. There are two Herods in the New Testament, a father and a son. Herod the Great is the one that we just met. And then there is Herod Antipas, his son, who is the ruler when Jesus' ministry begins. In between them is about 10 years of confusion, uprising, anarchy, in which at least three people tried to say they were king. And all of their reigns were full of violence and pride, and that results in needless death. Herod the Great, whom we just met, reigned from about 40 BC to about 4 BC. And he was given the title King of the Jews by the Romans. And he intended on keeping it at all costs. Josephus, a Jewish historian writing in about the first century CE, gives us a snapshot on what kind of ruler King Herod was. In 29 BC, Herod has his wife and her entire family killed because he believed that they were plotting against him. In 7 BC, 3 years before his death, Herod executes their two sons and his heirs to his kingdom, also because he believes that they are plotting against him. Towards the end of his life, right before he dies in 4 BC, some religious teachers who know that he's about to die stir up the youth, according to Josephus, and they tear down this enormous Roman eagle that Herod has put in the temple. Understandably, having a symbol of the Roman emperor's godhood is not exactly something that makes Jerusalem happy, and so these students destroy the eagle. Herod has their teacher burned alive on the night of a lunar eclipse. This is what the Magi are walking into. They come into a city besieged with fear, and they begin asking in the streets, as if this is not a death warrant, "Where is the child born King of the Jews?" These magi were so sure and so dedicated, so clear about their purpose that they risked their lives to seek out this child. Going to Herod was a roll of the dice. What would he do? Would he murder them on the spot? Would he use them somehow? Would he be in a good mood and ignore it completely? Or was this child one of his own? Some ray of light in a palace of cruel and wild violence. I wonder if there is anything in your life that you are willing to risk everything for. Is there something that you believe in so deeply and so sincerely that the volatility around you becomes null and void? Hopefully, none of us are going before mad kings and asking to see the Messiah, but so many of us do take incredible risks day in and day out to follow our vocation and our call. To love is to risk everything. To stand for justice is to risk everything. To follow God where God is calling is always to risk everything. To live one's life lovingly and authentically and peacefully when the future is uncertain is an act of faith and a risky wager. These wise men could easily have said that it was too dangerous to visit Jerusalem, too preposterous that a true king could be born under the tyranny of such a villainous one. Or they could have simply rejoiced at home and let it be. But instead they set out, seeking this king, this strange and wonderful promise, this infant God playing in the skirts of his mother. And in so doing, they risked everything. There will be days in our future when we are called to seek the Christ child in dangerous places. There will be days in our future where we will be drawn, led by God or by our own hunger for God, to a place where we must take an incredible risk. And you might think that you are not the right kind of person to risk everything to find Jesus. Perhaps you think you are not religious enough, not educated enough, not spiritual enough, not wise enough, somehow not the right kind of person. But these magi were not the right kind of people either. These were foreign astrologers, probably priests of Zoroaster, from Persia, who followed a different god and did not keep any of the Jewish law. They were not in the know. They did not perform the right rituals. They were not Pharisees or Sadducees nor priests. But what they did have was the stars, what they already knew. They had their gifts, their prophetic gifts, gold for a king, frankincense for a religious leader, and myrrh for the tomb. Matthew tells this story because he wants us to know that all the world is pulled towards Jesus, that Jesus is a Messiah for everyone, even these Zoroastrian priests from far away. Even these men who had no idea what the title King of the Jews would really mean. Even they were a part of the story God was telling in Little Bethlehem. So let us be like the Magi, to rely on who we already are, our God-given gifts, our own identities and peculiarities and particularities, so that we might find God in our own lives. Let us take a risk on exactly who we already are, and take a risk to follow where God leads us. In this new year, let us follow that star just as we are. It will be incredibly risky. We might be led to take on dangerous things, but we rely on our true selves, unique, particular, odd, and not always right. But it is from these risks that we participate in the saving story of God. Amen.